folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. It's time for today's camp notes. Should be a relatively brief show, very light practice in preparation for the trip to Green Bay that's going to occur on Wednesday for the joint practice to be held on Thursday. After that, they'll have a team walkthrough on Friday. Of course, a normal day off on Saturday before the game. And it's a fairly light week, frankly, of practice with only three times that the Ravens will be taking the field. Actually, I guess four in Green Bay because they'll have a walkthrough practice that, as I mentioned. Beautiful day to start with. There are no fans there. First day without fans. Kind of a weird situation where you can hear all the things the players are saying. It's very different. Aguilar talked about it being so eerie that it was quiet, and Bateman said he loved it. So it's interesting that different strokes for different folks. And it's a different situation for the media, too. We get to kind of stand in the stands that are no longer taken up by the fans. And that's a nice change of pace. Yeah, you're in the shade there. And actually, it was just wonderful, comfortable practice to be able to watch. The beautiful weather was punctuated by a brief but very heavy rain. And again, nice to be under an awning at that point. Practice was in pads, one field of 11 on 11. As I mentioned, a short and light practice. Seemed like there was a heavy emphasis on run drills today. That may be a function of the Ravens getting run on a little bit in these first two games. I think versus the Eagles, they got run on a lot, pretty much the whole game, very efficiently, even though it only ended up being 3.8 yards per carry. The Eagles moved the ball, got first downs, had 13 first downs, I believe, running the football. In the second game, when the Ravens had their first group in, and in particular when they had Trenton Simpson on the field, they didn't give up a lot of run yards, but they did in the second half. They gave up over 100 run yards in the second half. So I think based on the fact they're doing a lot of run drills and the fact Harbaugh actually talked about, we never want anybody to be able to run on us, this was probably a point of emphasis this week, trying to get ready for really at this point the regular season. They're gonna have they'll have this joint practice in the game with the Packers, but and they want to take what they can from that. But Harbaugh even mentioned that the regular season is where they're pointing to at this point. So let's talk absentees. Keaton Mitchell was not there, still on PUP. Rasheen Ali still a stinger. Ali needs to get back on the field. Kind of really hoped he'd be back after missing a game. Not sure what stinger means anymore. Maybe stinger means concussion protocol. Maybe it doesn't, but whatever the case, he's not back, and he's certainly losing ground to Owen Wright, who probably was ahead of him to start with. So tough spot for him. And unfortunately, I think he'll be a surprise cut come Turk Day in about, how long is it? We're not too far away, a week and a half or whatever it is, away from the Turk. Tez Walker, a rib cage injury. He still has him out. Mark Andrews still out since the car crash, and actually the day before, I think. Tyler Linderbaum out since early August. We got a little bit of news from Harbaugh in his press conference. I'll just save it for the end. Adisa Isaac, undisclosed injury, but it obviously occurred late in the game where he kind of had I thought he took kind of a hard hit to the thigh. Hopefully it isn't the knee. He kind of limped off the field under his own power. Nobody came out to take a look at him or anything like that. I hope it's not anything serious, but nothing was mentioned about him today. Josh Ross was not there. Don't know what his injury is. Arthur Mollett, of course, has the non-season ending injury. I reported on this program before that Mollett was seen running on the field. That was pointed out that was actually Russell Gage and not Mollett. So anyway, I didn't check out that lead thoroughly, and I have to make that correction. Eddie Jackson also not there today, undisclosed injury as well. We did have some people returning or limited on practice. One guy who's already returned, has been limited now for a while, is TJ Tampa. Still doing position drills only, not yet taking the full team reps that we certainly hope we'll see pretty soon. Then other people returning to practice. Russell Gage was back. He's been out since basically the first exhibition game, first preseason game, and reportedly is a hamstring, but he's back on the field today. Chris Board was back for limited action. So was Sanusi Kane. We believe both of those are concussions suffered in the Eagles game. So they're back and practicing now, although it's still limited. So hopefully they'll be back and they'll be able to see time against the Packers. Christian Mathieu was back. As far as I could tell, he was a full go. Kyle Hamilton was back. So Kyle Hamilton's been in and out the last week, took off the last practice day before missing the game entirely. So I do consider him to be a return to practice today. Anyway, he had a really nice day of 11-on-11 practice that I'll get into a little bit. They did some punt drills. They did some kickoff drills. One of the things that keeps coming up is that the kickoff drills are really taking a disproportionate expenditure of special teams segments. So they're doing some punt drills, and they're doing, you know, some return, and they build up to full returns on that. It's just a lot more of a focus to figure out how this kickoff is going to impact the game. And they're just not quite there yet, I think. And they're continuing to tinker with it and to try and practice it more. I always like to see this drill. They do some bunch formation drills. So this is basically, how do you work off a two-man bunch when you have two defenders, when you have three defenders? It's a drill, obviously, for the receivers trying to get free. It's a drill for the defense trying to make sure they have their assignments correct. And it's not run with any other defenders on the field. So it's just run as a pure 2-on-3. Ends up being highly favoring the offense, as you can imagine, in such situations. But good to see them doing that. Ravens are a team who don't run nearly as much bunch formation as the rest of the division, for whatever reason. Okay, but in particular, Pittsburgh, the last 20 years, has run just a ton of bunch formation. They rely on pick routes to get their guys open a lot. And it could be something the Ravens might include more, but so far we really haven't seen Monken with that kind of a predilection to add to the offense. That said, still need to practice it from the defensive perspective. The defense has to understand how to divide those coverages, how movement relates to it and whatnot. And, you know, it's not something I don't think the Ravens have been particularly terrible at before, but they certainly do need to keep up in terms of practicing that. Got just a limited handful of play notes about the 11-on-11 play today. It was given to you an order of occurrence here. Adafi Owe had a sack of Johnson after he forced him left from the pocket. Adafi Owe having a great camp, so that's nice to see. Kyle Hamilton had a hard tackle of Owen Wright on a pass at the line of scrimmage to the right. Kind of came up and contacted him. Wright immediately went down hard, and Hamilton just stand up. You know, obviously, both sides need to take care of each other, but you don't want to see tackling that hard occurring in practice. Hamilton was otherwise all over the field with a bunch of quick tackles on short pass plays. That included Hardy and Reigerman, for sure, that I saw that have caught little short passes in the right flat, and he took them down right away. So he looks to be in mid-season form in terms of handling the strong side of the field. The play of the day was Lamar completing what I think was about a 45-yard bomb to Bateman down the right sideline. Kadar Holman was in trailing coverage. This is really the play we've been waiting for. It wasn't wide open. Lamar dropped it right in the bucket. Bateman had a very instantaneous bobble at the catch point, but held on and ran into the end zone for a faux touchdown there. Really nice to see that, of course. Then Lamar found Anthony Miller in space by the right sideline. So obviously the defense in some sort of zone, and he catches a 15-yard ball right by the right sideline. Lamar was really feeling it, and it looked like that right sideline was where he was most comfortable today. The ball just flying up on a beautiful trajectory, play after play. He did have a pass for Gage that was overthrown 25 yards down the right sideline. Was tight coverage by Braid on that play. So Gage getting a little 11-on-11 action right there. We saw a big undercut from Nate Wiggins, who intercepted a pass from Devin Leary. It was intended for Kadri Ishmael.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, Anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Well, by the line of scrimmage along the right sideline, Wiggins undercut it and was taking it the other way when he turned around and brought the ball back. But great to see your first round draft pick making some plays. The way he's played so far, you know, the Ravens are going to have to find a way to get him on the field early on in the season, and hopefully they can do that. Whether it's by rotation or moving Humphrey to the slot or injuries figure it out for them or whatever it might be, they really need to get Nate Wiggins on the field. Jackson threw a pass for Kirkwood in the end zone. It was 20 yards left corner of the end zone by the pylon. Pepe undercut it for an interception. So nice to see Pepe find the ball in the air and undercut it for the pick. And Jackson completed a 30-yard pass to Kolar, dropped it in beautifully over Deion Jennings, who was trailing in coverage about 30 yards between the numbers and the left hash. So lots of good throws from Lamar Jackson. It was one of his certainly better days. Looked to me like the offense, and I'm not sure if this was a situational score that I saw. It said 24-24, or whether that was the score of the practice as they'd done it. It almost seemed like there wasn't enough total reps this practice to get up to a 24-24 score. So I'm guessing I was probably looking at a situational segment they were doing, and the score was 24-24, and they had some, you know, time remaining or some condition that they were putting on the play. But in any case, the defense, is, as far as I know, has won every practice, unless this one did happen to be a tie. No false start laps that I noticed today, so that's obviously been a big thing so far in camp. But I didn't see any flags. There was one flag for holding. Didn't see who the hold was on. I did see who the lineman was, and I'm trying to see if I got it in front of me here. Oh darn it! Okay, doesn't seem like I've got it right in front of me here. But there was one offensive holding on the line. Now let's get to the interviews a little bit, because there's some interesting things said, and I don't know what we can take away from some of this, but John Harbaugh was asked for probably about the 10th time this camp so far about the current state of the offensive line and whether or not the starters are figured out in this thing. And he hemmed and hawed a little bit, and they said, well, no, the OL is not altogether solidified. Obviously they had Cleveland in its center in this last game. But Cleveland could take either guard spot. We have Voorhees at left guard, who did not play well. We have on the right side, Fa'alele, who did not play well in the second game. Doesn't look good at the position. Definitely does not look smooth. Does not look like he's able to move in space. I would think that would not translate into very good pulling either, even though that's more on a track. A lot of things that are just not right about Daniel Fa'alele, and yet he still seems to be the starting center in the two games so far. In most of the practices that I've seen, he seems to be the guy. So we'll see how that plays out. Harbaugh made a really important point about competition for the last roster spots. I think it was in relation to the game and whatnot, but listen to the thing if you care to. I think this is the important takeaway for me. He said, it's really important to have competition for the last roster spots, because the other choice is that you're scouring the waiver wire for the players you need to get. So much better to have too many than too few. And obviously that translates well to your practice squad depth as well. So the Ravens have multiple tools at their disposal, including IR DTR, to get players back onto the roster as the season progresses. But if you don't have enough good players, that's a problem that's very hard to overcome despite that. With regard to the practice with the Packers, first of all, they limited it to one day this year, and they're just having their own private walkthrough practice. I think part of it was the second day of these joint practices was tending to get more chippy in terms of how the you know, more risk of fighting, more risk of tempers flaring and whatnot. But they are he hoped that they would have a similar mindset, that these were two championship caliber teams. They're both going to go out and try and win a Super Bowl. But in this practice, they're trying to, you know, derive value from the competition against another high quality opponent. And I hope they would enter it that way, as opposed to some sort of competitive junior high school thing where each side is trying to prove they're tougher than the other. So anyway, good. I think a good way to put it. He's asked about Tyler Linderbaum. He said he's on schedule. Not clear what that means. On schedule for week one, on schedule for week four, on schedule for a midseason return. We don't know any of that, but he's on schedule per John Harbaugh. And you can go listen to the interview again if you want to really hear his exact words on this, but the on schedule is a direct quote. With the Mark Andrews injury, who's now been out for, missed the game, missed days last week, and now missed the first practice of this week, he said the injury is very minor. And then whoever asked that question, I don't remember, it was Wacker or one of the other guys, you know, said, will he be going to Green Bay? And he goes, you should have been a prosecutor, because obviously if he wasn't going to Green Bay, it'd be a problem. And he's going to Green Bay, kind of thing. Well, you know, I think it's fair to say that we've not always gotten exactly the questions answered in the way that we desired from Harbaugh over the years. And sometimes you do have to ask a follow-up clarifying question. If you want the answer. And sometimes he's just not very receptive to follow-up questions either, which clearly was the case here. Anyway, good stuff from John. I think some real wisdom in terms of the last roster spots and how they approach these joint practices. Lamar Jackson was next up at the podium. He got asked a lot of questions he can't give an answer to. You know, how's the offensive line coming together? Well, he's not going to say, well, you know, we really got a problem at left guard right now because Voorhees isn't pass blocking well. I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to move Ben Cleveland over there because he'd be the next option. I don't really trust him either. They can't really say anything. You know, Harbaugh can't really say anything like that. Lamar can't really say anything like that. So he answered the question the way, oh, yeah, we got, and he literally listed out the offensive linemen and talked about them. And I think the only thing you could draw from it is that those might be the guys who start, but Lamar knows who the five guys with him are in every practice, and that's really all he's reporting at this point. So that's the kind of question you're not going to get a good answer on. So the next thing, he was asked about his weight loss and how that was working for him this camp. He said he felt a lot less fatigue at the end of practices with weight loss. And so I thought that was a positive thing. Hopefully that carries over into games in terms of being a, you know, the slimmer version of Lamar after he was the supposedly the more tank-like, more difficult to hurt Lamar for, I guess, the last two seasons he really has been. He left practice for 10 minutes today, and then he came back. And of course he was asked, how did you feel after leaving practice for 10 minutes today when you came back? And he said, I'm good, wonderful, great. And he was mockingly answering the question in a way that he knows he's in a lot of trouble if he answers a question about an injury related to Harbaugh. I didn't get the impression either from the fact that he continued to take some reps after returning or from the way he was moving around that there's any real issue with an injury. But he wasn't in a position to answer that question. That's going to do it today for a very short episode of Camp Notes. One more day of camp tomorrow where we'll have notes, and then they revert when they get back to from practice to the much shorter 30-minute media practices, which are very different kind of an atmosphere there. But a good day today and a lot of fun to be out there. Thanks for listening. I hope you folks will continue to check out the other materials out there online. The articles that Maureen and I write are out there on the offensive and defensive players for both each of the first two games, if you want more detail. And this week we did offensive line scoring on all five of the players who played the most snaps. So that would be Jones, Voorhees, Cleveland, Fa'alele and Rosengarten, who had a nice game. So anyway, hope you'll give that a chance out on the website, filmstudybaltimore.com. It's the articles section. That's it for now, and we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch or Tap, also on them.
Service plan required for Watch or Tap. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.